Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card in.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Yes, it is that time of the week. Friday Form Focus. And for the final time in this current racing season, we'll be trying to find you all the winners at the Valley. And he's had a little freshen up, as we all have, with a week without racing. And Sharknado is ready to pounce at the Valley tomorrow. How are you, Sharky?
Gee, I can't remember the last time I pounced. It's a little bit vigorous for me these days. Pouncing? I know you're a Tigers man, so you love to pounce. But, don't
you're
know about pouncing.
Creeper,
let's just say I'm enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. Hey, it's a good meeting. Although we always come to this Valley meeting with a little bit of trepidation because it is first up from a 5-month spell, the track itself as well. So I just wonder how we attack the meeting. Do you want to see how these early races go when we've got a $1.70 favourite Jigsaw in the first?
Look, he's a $1.70. I just reckon with the weight, is he the right price? We all know he's a nice horse, Jigsaw, but there's a couple in this race. I just think, they might be able to give him a little bit of a run for the money. I don't know if I want to be kicking off at the Valley first time back for a long time on a $1.70 favourite, put it that way.
All right. Well, we've got plenty to get through because we're going to obviously dissect the entire card at the Valley. We're also going to look at the Lightning Stakes over in South Australia. And then on Sunday, looking forward to having a look at the Grand National, which is intriguing, and also the Crisp as well, where we've got the best jumpers in the land going around. Congratulations, and we'll talk more about this on Monday's verdict. But obviously, Kiramar Dave Eustace will be crowned the Metropolitan Training Champions in the Premiership. And Jamie Carr, as we all know, will be the Metropolitan Trainer of the season as well. But Johnny Allen is the actual Victorian Jockey Premiership winner for the entire state on 144 winners to Jamie Carr's 138, Sharky.
Fantastic effort, isn't it? The Derby King, Johnny Allen, and getting the job done right around this beautiful state of Victoria, riding plenty of winners again this season. And his story is a brilliant one. I think it's a story that will really go down in the modern era as quite a unique tale in Australian racing as well as Victorian racing, given he answered an ad in a newspaper in Ireland to come out here and look at him now.
Crazy, isn't it? If I was to ask you who was the most successful jockey for the season Australia-wide, would you know?
It'd be something. The fact that you're asking me that, I'm tipping it's something offbeat, like there'll be somebody in far north Queensland or WA or somebody like that. Who is it? Go on.
I'll give you WA. Chris Parnham.
Chris Parnham, there you go.
197 winners for the year.
That's insane.
It is,
that
isn't
is
it?
Insane.
Unbelievable. And no surprise, Chris Waller, the top trainer in Australia, 338.5 winners for Chris Waller. Just the lazy $43 million in prize money once again for the season, Sharky.
Pretty handy, isn't it? I wouldn't mind a tenth of that, really. Well, funnily enough, that's what he gets.
Unbelievable. And we should also say well done to Blake McDougall, who was very close to Chris Parnham in the jockey stakes as well.
All right, Sharknado,
we need tips and we need plenty of winners. We're all cashed up. We're ready to go after a week off. You should see the text messages already coming through. We'll get to some of the punters' tips out wide. Josh from Horsham, he had an interesting day. We're giving him one more chance. He's on notice because of his three tips last week. One was scratched, one ran second up in Darwin, and the other one got the cash, but it was only $1.65. So he's back for a last hurrah to see if he can improve just before 10 o'clock as well. First race tomorrow, it is where we get this short price favourite, Jigsaw. We had Cindy Alderson in the studio yesterday. It was great to catch up with Cindy and the other trainers. A lot of discussion and debate on social media. We'll talk more about that on the verdict on Monday. But this is what Cindy had to say about Jigsaw.
Look, he's in great order. I can't fault him. He's got a nice barrier draw. He's a little bit of weight, but, it's the next step in his progression, I believe, and I think he'll go close.
Well, he will go close, but he's $1.70, Shark. It's how much do you want to play at that price direct? That was a really good push from Lloyd Kennywell before. $6.50. Frosten's a good horse resuming as well. $7.50. Lloyd's Crown is the next in the market at $14. But he's a good horse, Jigsaw. $1.70. You're going to take it a little easy, are you, first up?
Yeah, I think I will. And look, I think most people that listen to this program week in, week out will know that $1.70 favourites, you know, I probably need them to be a really strong, you know, I need to see that there's no risk or very limited risk in a horse at that price to jump in at that price. And I think there is a little bit of risk with Jigsaw, the weight being one. We've got some rain potentially coming tomorrow. Now, what time of the afternoon it falls, I think that's what we're all waiting to see, but that's a potential little spanner in the works there for Jigsaw. He also has to give some weight away to a horse you mentioned a moment ago, Direct. He's a pretty good horse, and look, he's had three runs so far in good company against good fields. He was a very good run in the Silver Slipper. I think that's going to be a good form race. He just went too hard in the Todman and ran out of gas late. You know, that's pretty solid standard of form for a race at the back end of the season, which will obviously launch him towards, you know, Vane Stakes and the like. I just think at the odds with the weight advantage, I'd have a little go at Direct, knowing that the raw ability there and the belief that Lloyd Kennywell has in the horse probably elevates him longer term up beyond Jigsaw's level.
Well, right now you can get $1.90 Direct to run top three, $1.70 Jigsaw to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you look at it like that, it's a sensible bet to sort of play Direct. I'd have a little win bet on him, but maybe he's like a 1-by-3 play in the first, and you run some exactas with Jigsaw. That might be the way to get us going.
Are these two horses that you think that can make it deeper into the spring against the better 3-year-olds?
Probably to that listed, maybe Group 3 level early in the season. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jigsaw's up and about and looking to be second up and probably third up going into those listed and Group 3 races earlier in the year. You know, Mitchell McKenzie, that sort of race might really suit him. I think that's probably why he's having a look at the Valley. And Direct is probably in that same sort of boat. I know Lloyd last year was talking about him as a horse that he thought was, you know, probably a bit better than listed grade, a bit better than Group 3 grade. So it needs to start to deliver on that potential and that belief that its trainer's got in it. But this is a good starting point for both of these horses. You've got a horse like Frosten who's got some ability. I thought his Bendigo Gold Rush was really, really good. I like that form line around Tycoon Hummer. You know, he's probably another one that could elevate and get to a bit better grade. But interesting race to watch. I think there's value in Direct.
Yeah, it's going to be an intriguing race, the first one at the Valley. This is an interesting SMS, not a tip here, but with the dramas we've had at Moonee Valley, and we spoke to Marty Simon at the top of the show, Mark has posed a question. Is anyone else questioning the decision to have testing sites and vaccination centres on race courses? Is it a flawed idea? It's a good earner for the clubs, but is the threat to racing worth it? It's probably not anything we'd given much thought to until what occurred at Moonee Valley this week, but it's probably a salient question because they also have a testing site out at Sandown as well. So.
Yeah.
Obviously, racing has been able to meander and manoeuvre its way through the COVID situation at the moment. So hats off to everyone involved. But it is a good question raised by Mark there. A few other SMSs coming through. Hello, guys. Sharky, can you ask Sharky if stable hands can come to see their favourite spelling horses at Leneva Park? That's from Andrew Hawthorne. Good on you, Andrew. Sharky, we'll get back to you off air.
Yeah.
Hello, Michael. We are heading to Darwin. Of course, it's Darwin Cup on Monday. Wondering if next Monday morning Sharknado and or Dino can look up the cup and the quaddie. Do you know what? Bob from Geelong, we will be doing a lot on the Darwin Cup on Monday. And Sharky, on the verdict, I'll get you to do the Darwin Cup form as well for Monday. So Bob and anyone who was lucky enough to be in Darwin, we'll give you some winners there as well.
I've got a couple of good snouts up Darwin way. There's a particular group of punters from the East Malvern area that may have been witness to a very special tip from Darwin around 18 months ago. So I think that, you know, I'll see. I'll poke my sources and see what they can come up with.
Well, let's get all the mail for Darwin on Monday. We need the mail for race number two as well. This is for the two-year-old fillies over the 1,000 metres. And this is an interesting race as well. We get to see Frost Flowers back in action with the claim. We're going to have a chat to Sammy Freeman about Frost Flowers because she created a huge impression on debut. And she wasn't too bad in stronger company after that. First up with the claim, as I said, Tycoon Hummer at $4.60. La Rock at $5.50. Sweet Mary at Lindsay Smith. Obviously saying she needs to step up in class, but couldn't have been more impressive. And then Duchy of Savoy, number 14, is an interesting runner here if it gets a run from the Hawks stable. It was really good on debut. So it'll be interesting to see after its first up run what Sharky thinks of that at $7. Before we go to Sammy Freeman, have a listen to what John McArdle had to say about Tycoon Hummer and La Rock issuing a warning to punters who might like them tomorrow.
Would I be surprised if they won? No, because I think they're both quality fillies. La Rock is probably going to be better suited over more ground. Tyson Hummer has been working the house down at home. It's just how fit she's going to be. And probably I would have been more confident if we had been able to draw a gate and sort of ride them a touch closer. Probably going to have to ride them back from the barriers, but what I will say to the punters that they're two quality fillies. They will certainly improve sharply off this, but I think they'll run well. Whether they're going to win or not from the barrier and with their lack of fitness, I'm not sure, but they will improve sharply off this, and I think they'll both have nice springs.
It was interesting to hear Johnny McArdle yesterday because he's using this race because there were no subsequent or no prevalent trials that he could have used for their fitness. So how much do you need to take that into consideration, Shark?
Oh, I think you have to. It's, you know, this isn't their grand final, these two fillies. Like, you know, they're pretty nice horses. One of them's already a stakes winner and well, they've actually both are. One down the straight and another one over a little bit more ground down the straight. I think they're horses that'll probably get that 1,200, 1,400 and maybe even heading towards those sort of Guineas prelude races. Just wait and see. I think there are some sharp horses in this race at the 1,000 that might just have the edge tomorrow.
All right. I wonder if one of those is Frost Flowers, the favourite at $4.60. The half to Hanseatic was dominant on debut, and they're not far behind them in the good two-year-old races. And Sam Freeman joins us. How are you, Sam?
Morning, guys. Very well, thank you.
Appreciate your time this morning. Is Frost Flowers fit, ready to win first up?
Yeah, I think she is forward. And she only had the one jump out, but there's not a lot of her. She doesn't take a lot of work to get ready. She's got a nice gate. So we'll be using that gate to her advantage and putting her somewhere on the speed. And I think fitness isn't going to be a query there on Saturday.
Sam, having a look at that first prep, first two runs were absolute rippers. Was it just a case of running out of condition and maybe coming to the end of it in the Talendert?
Yeah, I think it was. It was, what you see on the racetrack, you don't see what sort of happens behind closed doors. So you get them ready for their first up run. She bounced out of that for a second up run and then was probably just tapering off a touch. You know, she's had a really good break. She's had a fair bit of grounding for this run and she was obviously dominant fresh at her first start, so that could, we'll learn about that on Saturday, but she may be a horse that's best with her run spaced as well.
I was going to say that. Does she give you the feel that she could be a fresh, real speed horse, that sort of 1,000, 1,200 metre style of filly, rather than something that'll train on and head towards 1,000 guineas?
Yeah, I think definitely. You know, she's obviously the half to Hanseatica was very quick and was very good early in his preparations as well, so you know, she's very similar to him, probably not quite as brilliant as him, but I think if we keep her to be 1,000, 11 and probably 1,200 as well, she's obviously a winner down the straight, and a race like the Cape Dunteve could be, you know, right in her wheelhouse.
I see she's got the tongue tie on for the first time as well. What's the reason behind that?
Yeah, look, she's actually always worn it. We didn't put it on her for her first run, but she had it on in her track work prior to that, and we wanted to get her really used to it. She wasn't overly happy with it early days, but now she's really started to accept it. So, there's no real breathing issue there. She's always, just played around with her tongue, so it's more just to give a bit more control there.
Sam, talk to us about Starcaster resuming in the third. You sort of worked him out eventually, this horse, into his last preparation and was able to win a couple of races there. How fit is he for this? Obviously, residual fitness from a summer campaign that pushed into late March.
Yeah, look, he spent a lot of time at the beach, this horse, and he had a jump out at Traralgon, which Matty Cartwright rode him, and he was very relaxed. He was up there on speed, but he was just sort of eyeballing another horse, which generally he can over-race doing that, but he switched off pretty well and clicked into gear nicely. There's improvement there, I'm sure, obviously, once he gets out in trip a little bit, but he was actually a pretty incredible run first up last prep at Geelong, over 100 metres. So, he's got the speed. Like, he's pretty versatile. I wouldn't worry about him having, needing to get out in trip, but obviously he sort of comes into his own when he does.
Bedford's been a horse that has put the wall on the riding with two great runs at Caulfield and Sandown. Then last start there was a little issue. He heads to the Valley, maybe on a firmer surface. What are you thinking?
Yeah, he just had a little issue, in the run after that run, and we've spaced his run now. He's had a fair bit of time at the Water Walker and kept him very fresh. He is a horse, you don't get too many runs out of him during his campaign. He generally gets three to four runs, and then he can just drop his form off. So we wanted to space that run into this and get him really bouncing and fresh and, try and get him feeling like he's, running first or second up again. Not worried about whatever surface presents. He's very good on heavy and soft ground, but he's run equally some very good races on firm ground. So, look, as long as there's some nice speed and he can relax, because he can just get on the bit a little bit, then, with not a lot of weight and, nice and fit, he should be right there.
Now, Sam, I'm going to do you and the connections of Wilmot Pass a favour, because I've been in his corner at his last few runs and he's running well without winning. I'll just tell you now, I'm not going to back him tomorrow, so that pretty much guarantees he'll be winning and knocking me out of the quaddy.
Yeah, I hope he does. He's mighty consistent. He's struggled to get his head in front. I thought he was there the other day. I was actually watching it with a mate on the couch, and he went the early crow and stormed off saying he's home.
And that's what did it.
The almighty sprays after, he's not actually crosses the line. So, hopefully tomorrow's his day. He deserves it, this preparation. He's been mighty consistent.
Have you ever gone the early crow next to your dad? How would your dad handle an early crow?
I don't think that would go down too well. I don't watch races with him. he tends to give the in-run commentary of, I won't use the words he'll use, but the horse got no chance, essentially, or he likes to give a bit of commentary through the run, and it frustrates me. I'd rather just watch it all unfold.
So he's negative in the run, is he? Is he doing the reverse mock?
He'll be calling it beaten when it's 1,000 from home travelling on the bridle. So.
Very good. Well, who's your best, do you think, tomorrow, Sam?
I think it's a tough one. They're all sort of even chances. I'd like to think Bedford's probably got his race. I think he's probably our best chance.
Good luck tomorrow, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
So Frost Flowers is a $4.60 favourite here, Shark. If we've got a question mark over the fitness of John McArdle's two fillies, and they've both drawn wide, Sweet Mary's stepping up from a low raid or a low race at Caston, what was unbelievable, and Duchy of Savoy, who's an emergency waiting to get a run. Oh no, it's got into the field. So Duchy of Savoy is now in the field, which is good because Taylor's moment's been scratched. So how are you deciphering this two-year-old race for the fillies?
It's a no-bet race because, John McArdle, I think he holds two of the trump cards with LaRoque and Tycoon Hummer, and he sort of doesn't know where they sit in terms of fitness, and he's a little bit unsure. That, as a starting point, rings warning bells for me. Frost Flowers is the top pick. I just think it gets such a nice run. It's such a reliable gate horse. It'll jump, be there for Matt Cartwright, and if it relaxes in, you know, on the speed, it could be really hard to beat. But look, you look at Zapateo, who's a horse with talent. It's got race fitness on its side. Sweet Mary, you mentioned, really good time on the day compared to the other 1,200 metre races. She was clearly the fastest, so there's an engine there. Brett Preble's riding well. Duchess Avoy, nice horse. Slider's nice horse. There's a group of them here. Even you look at Sadu and Chimes as well. You know, they're unexposed. You know, soft ground, Moonee Valley, freshened up. You know, I think we just watch and learn with this race rather than bet. But Frost Flowers, for the sake of tipping the card, if the zillion to one shot does get up, that would be the top pick.
Yeah, we do have an SMS saying Sharky's leaving his run late if he wants to tip the card. Tom from Tamworth is saying, get up, Sharky. He's also given us a little one out wide, Tom, too, which is good.
Okay.
Goulburn, race 6, number 7, local male. So that is Tom from Tamworth at Goulburn. So race 6, number 7 at Goulburn. Write that down, punters. I'll just see what the price it is. Race 6, number 7. Okay, at $4.80 today. Jumps at 5 minutes to 3 o'clock. We need to pick up the pace, Sharky. Let's get into race number three at Moonee Valley tomorrow. This is an intriguing race because, I'd love to own a horse like the favourite here, High Stranger, $3.60, no effort. Has been winning well on leader bias tracks. Falls, $5.50. Starcaster, we just heard from Sammy Freeman. Algalale's first up at $10. And good luck to the Bald Eagle. High Emotion.
Yes.
A horse with a lot of ability. He's back first up tomorrow at $11. So this looks a tricky race, Shark.
Really useful stayer, High Emotion, isn't it? She's done a ripping job so far, winning 5 from 11. And yeah, they'll have designs on getting to better races this time around, I would assume. Tricky race, but there's good speed. No effort goes forward. Think We're Due goes forward. Falls goes forward. They're natural on pace horses. I think they'll go along at a genuine gallop here, which gives the likes of Al Galel, Actow, Starcaster the chance to really finish off and hit the line well first up. So I think it'll be a genuine tempo, and I think it'll be a genuine form reference going forward. I keep looking at, I'm sort of playing this value meeting tomorrow thinking that it might be a good idea to be near the speed early in the day. Think We're Due, I reckon Newitt will just take a little bit of a sit on Falls and No Effort. Third up into this race, he should be ready to peak. Andrew Noblett is setting horses for goals, and you know that this time of year they're not all stakes races, they're winnable targets. I think he's found a winnable target here with Think We're Due. Good valley horse, right sort of profile to be right in the thick of things here at the finish. I think he's a really solid chance in the race. The little saving bet that I'd probably have is on Al Galil. He's good fresh, goes very well at the valley, and he is well and truly sharp enough to be winning over a mile first up. And that pace in the race, I think, will help him to come late and start looping and getting into the race from the 400.
All right, so is it an each-way play or is it a straight-out play? What are we doing here?
I'm happy enough to have a little win bet on Think We're Due, and then, yeah, a small sort of saver on Al Galil. I think at the odds you can back them both, and you know we could get a nice little result with a two-bet play here.
Well, they both double figures. Al Galil, $10, and Think We're Due is $11. Race number four at the Valley is over the Cox Plate distance of 20.40. No scratchings. Dr. Drill's the favourite for Jamie Carr, $3.90. Spies tell me Jamie Carr was at Lindsay Park this morning, maybe testing a few Spring Carnival contenders out as well. Interesting. Dr. Drill, he's not a big horse. He's got to carry the full 59 kilos. Buckhurst is one of the X factors of the day. This horse has the form of the meeting, really, going around in a Cox Plate and a Caulfield Cup. The market will tell us the tale, Sharky. It's $3.80 out to $4. Bedford, $4.80 as well. What do you make of Buckhurst first up?
Buckhurst is a very good horse, but Buckhurst likes good ground. I know you look at his form and he's got two wins on soft, but what we've seen of him in the last sort of 12 to 18 months, when there's given the track, he is not at his best. Now, the two soft track runs we've seen in Australia have been at Group 1 level in a Caulfield Cup and a Cox Plate. I'll acknowledge that. But this horse is considerably better on top of the ground. The market tells the story with these Rob Hickmott horses first up. We haven't seen jump outs, we haven't seen trials, The market on race day tells the story. If there is money for him, a la De Graves, Hosier, et al. In previous weeks and months, then follow the money. If there's not, he may need the run. Dr. Drill, I think if the track hangs around that soft six range, I'm wary if it gets worse than soft six, but at soft six, he's the most likely winner. I can roll forward in a race where there's not a lot of speed. I think Jamie Carr, you know, as she does, come out neutral, have a look with a horse that can sit handy. I think she slides across probably with a horse like Salsamore to be in that sort of first three on settling, Nudge Bar also from an inside gate. Dr. Drill's going to get the right run. He's got race fitness on his side. He's not a bad little unit around this sort of grade of race. He can win. If the track's that soft five, soft six, he's one of the better bets on the day. If it gets beyond that, I'd be a little bit wary.
Okay. What price would you be happy to take? He's $3.90. Dr. Drill. Buckhurst is at $4.
$3.90, I think, is well and truly backable. I think that's a great price for Dr. Drill. But if we're betting early, we're risking the weather. And that is something I'm not prepared to do with this horse because I think his chances hinge on the conditions. So I'll probably wait and see. Hopefully the price holds up.
Where's Muhammad Dias at? At his best, he'd probably be favourite in this race under the current conditions.
Look, he's a gelding and he's doing what geldings do. He's racing and he's racing often, which is great. And he's running good races. He's been up in trip. He's been back in trip. You know, 2,400 last time. He's back in distance again to 2,000 this time. He's fit. That won't get him beaten. I'd just like to see him win another race or run a really good race and finish sort of top three. He was, I know he's beaten the length in a bit last time with 60, but some of the horses in that race, I wouldn't be backing them in this field. If he won, it wouldn't shock me, and fair play to Nick Ryan, very good trainer, and he knows his horse well, but I'd just work around him here.
All right, so Dr. Drill is the selection from Sharkey in the fourth. Race five, the Valley, is over 1,514 metres, and this is one of the interesting races of the day. We heard Nick Ryan say that, unfortunately for his horse, he might have knocked into a potential Group 1 class and listed class horses with I'm Thunderstruck, the odds-on favourite, 195. Tuvalu at $3.90. Lindsay Smith, not 100% certain he can turn the tables, but does meet I'm Thunderstruck better at the weights and at the Valley, maybe better suited up on speed. Before I ask your thoughts on Tuvalu and how the speed map might look, have a listen to Mick Price yesterday. This is what he had to say about I'm Thunderstruck, the $1.95 favourite.
Yeah, that 5 kilos for beating Tuvalu, Lindsay Smith's horse, and first time around Moonee Valley. But I would say we took him to Moonee Valley Tuesday, worked in a nice 1,200-metre gallop. Jay Carr rode him, said very strong to the line and through the line, and I think he can win again.
Gee, he was phenomenal last start. He was arrogant the way he won, but he's up 5 kilos. And do you think that Tuvalu will go to the front, Sharkey, try to control the race tomorrow?
Yeah, he'll certainly be positive. I can't see Tuvalu sort of settling any further back than, say, third or fourth on settling unless he's a little bit slow from the gates. Tuvalu's going to be fitter, and he's got that tactical advantage, particularly, and we'll start to get a picture by race five, I'd have thought, if it's an advantage to be up on the speed. So keep that in mind. Again, not a race I'd be playing early in. I'm Thunderstruck. He's still putting it together. I'm wondering if he's a big track horse. I'm wondering if he needs like a long straight like Sale or Flemington, where we've seen him at his best this prep, and he really rips and goes through the gears and clears out from horses. Around Caulfield, I know he's won, but it was a narrow win and he wasn't really convincing, and that was in a maiden. Big tracks look his go at the moment. Moonee Valley is not a big track, but the horse has immense raw ability. I'm reluctant to take him on. I think Tuvalu is the obvious danger and a really worthy adversary for On Thunderstruck. It wouldn't surprise me if Tuvalu won. If the track is playing to those sort of near the speed, and we've got that as an emerging pattern on the day come this race, I'd be backing Tuvalu. Otherwise, I'd probably sit and watch the race.
He's $15 for the Golden Eagle. This is his fork in the road run to try and get him into a Golden Eagle or say he's on track for that. Is he a Group 1 horse awaiting on Thunderstruck?
Group one horse, I'm not sure. I think he's got group ability. We've seen him once at group two level in the autumn when he was very new and straight out of maiden grade, and he ran a great race. He was only beaten two and a bit lengths to Poland Amish Boys through that race. It was placed in the Newmarket. You know, there's good form around him, and you know, obviously the times he's running, the margins he's opened fields up by, you would think that he will win a group race at some point. Whether it's a group one, I'm not sure.
Got an SMS for you. Hey, Sharky, brother, do you think Great Diviner has a chance against this lineup? He's got a great will to win. Love your work. That's from Bill in Tassie. Good to have all our Tassie listeners tuning in this morning as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill, if he got a really wet track, his prospects just increase a bit. I think his best runs to date have been that soft seven and heavy eight at his last two runs. If the rain comes in a big way, I think his prospects improve.
Okay. Do you give Signers Express any blowout hope?
Well, he's got his tail up now, doesn't he? The Silver Bowl final, the 1,700-metre win last time over Foxy Frieda, who's a nice horse. He's confident. He's racing well. Alana Kelly, you know, almost the same sort of commentary. She's confident. She's riding well. So it's a good combination. I think ultimately Tuvalu and I'm Thunderstruck are better horses. But he's Johnny on the spot, Signers Express. He's fit, he's there. There's not a lot wrong with his form.
Do you think $1.95 is right price, last one on I'm Thunderstruck?
It is on that last win. But that was at Flemington, different conditions. He's at Moonee Valley. I'm not sure. I'm sort of torn. He's the sort of horse that you'd love to really toe into in an off-season meeting like this. If it was at another track, I probably would. At the Valley, I'd just like to see him prove himself around a tight track before I go launching at that price.
All right, this is Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We're five races down at the Valley. We'll take a break, come back with the Quaddie. We'll also get the winner of the Lightning in Morfettville and at the Grand National on Sunday at Sandown. Keep listening on the Friday Form Focus. Right.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Hey Shark, just following on from Quinny, the TAB has just released early markets for another 15 spring features, including the Maccabi Diva, where they've got Probabil a $6 favourite. Colette 50 Stars at $8, Incentivise $11, Sir Rupert Clark Ayrton Behemoth $8 favourites, Profiteer $5 favourite in the Moya, the Underwood, the Flight, the Turnbull, very elegant, Zaki equal favourites at $6, the Spring Champion, Converge is the $8 favourite, and Ayrton Behemoth $8 favourite in the Turak. A lot of these races, we don't know where the horses are going, but a race like the Maccabi Diva or one of these early races, any of those odds? Profiteer, $5 first up in a Moya could be enticing.
That's an interesting placement. Yeah, Profiteer. Look, I don't know where a lot of these horses are heading, and I think that's anyone that's listening and wanting to play in those early Group 1 races, I think that's when it pays to listen to Racing Pulse and your programs and Gareth's programs and get the insight from the trainers, isn't it? And actually work out who is going where. You get on something early, you hear something you like that's heading to a particular race, you might be able to steal a little bit of value.
Well, the Moya is the first up target for Profiteer. So if you think he can do that first up, you're getting $5 at the moment. All right, Sharky, I won't stress your mind with futures thoughts. Let's just try and get the quaddie at the Valley tomorrow. The first leg, and this is the Victorian Wakeful Lady of Racing over 1,600 metres. At this stage, no scratchings. It's $5 the field. Godaline, Andrew Noblet Stable is airborne at the moment. Equal favourite with Hibiscus. Mm. Betcha Flying's at $6.50. Lady Dioro is at $8.50. So, gee, Godaline's been impressive. Last start, it was such a strong win. Is the question going to be, it'll get back, how the race is going to be run at the Valley?
Yeah, I think that is the question, what the pattern's going to be. There's decent speed here. Liao, Florent, So You Assume, they look like your most likely on-speed horses. From there on, it's sort of an even map. I think Gaudaline is just getting some separation on the horse called White Hibiscus from their last run at the handicap. That gives White Hibiscus a little chance in this race. Craig Williams, good gait. She has drifted back past midfield in recent runs, but I'm thinking Williams might use that gate and try and hold a position a little bit closer to the speed, somewhere in that midfield sort of range. I think from there, if he can, White Hibiscus is a decent each-way play here in a really tough race. Like these off-season mares races, they seem to take turns winning. There's horses that are consistent. If they're not winning, they're close. You know, Betcha Flying, Lady Doro, White Hibiscus, we mentioned, So You Assume, sort of winning and running placings when she's not. Even a horse like Silver Lake down the bottom, number 13, really nice effort last start. Drawn wide here, that just dents her chances a little bit. It's a tricky start to the quaddy. I think you need a few in it. I would maybe have a small each-way bet White Hibiscus just for an interest.
All right, White Hibiscus to turn the tables on Gaudaline. Give me those quaddy numbers. It's a bit of a faddish start.
Yeah, we've got to throw a handful in the first. 3, 5, 7, 10, 11.
So 3, Gaudaline. 5, which is Lady Dioro. The 7, which is... Mm-hmm. What's the 7? Nordic Symphony at $41.
And that's our little blowout in the first leg, yes.
All right, $41 pop in the first leg. White Hibiscus, the 10, and number 11, So You Assume, at $8.50. That is the first leg of the quaddy at the Valley. Race number 7 is the dominant Travis Harrison Cup. Always a great race in memory of Travis Harrison that they run each year at the Valley. It's over 2,500 metres. In this race, we can take out 11. Smoke and Romans is the favourite for Jamie Carr and Kieran Maher, Dave Eustace, into $2.80. Mr. Mouge from the Hickmont Stable is at $5. Then we're down to Maserati Bay at $7, Crimson Ace $7 as well. So Smoke and Romans into $2.80 now, continues to firm up. Is that getting a bit tight in the market, Smoke and Romans, or are you happy to play?
Sure is. From barrier 16, first time to the distance, that is too short for me. This look, if you thought the first leg was hard, this ain't any easier. Mr. Mooge is the horse I've landed on. Good heavy track win, two back. To me, he looked like he was anchored by the weight last start when he just came back in class gradually at Lakeside. And he was a bit of a sitting duck in that race. He led, he had the weight. Yes, he was a good winner prior to that, but I think it was a race where he was vulnerable. He was beaten. They didn't really rip away from him. He kept staying on. I just hope that Will Price goes forward again and is positive again. I think that's the way to ride the horse. And just coming back slightly, or well, you know, in the handicap, he's going up in grade, but I think it's a winnable race for him. Hope they go forward. Hope he bowls along. He might be the one to catch. Smoke and Romans, Bondi Sands, Maserati Bay. Like, there's a group of horses here that are good enough to win, but they're probably mixing their form a little bit. Smoke and Romans is coming off that really good win last time, but up to a distance he's not proven at, and jumping from a really wide gate around a sticky sort of distance for drawing wide at the Valley. Yeah, not a race I'm frothing to bet in. And from a quaddy perspective, we're going to run with 2, 3, 5, 6, 9, 10. And we're going to pray. That's what we're going to do.
All right. So we've got 2, which is in this race, Tavi Run. We've also got, let me just see what price this is. So Tavi Run's $34. Then you're putting in the 3 Maserati Bay, $7. The 5 Smoke and Romans, the favourite at $2.80. 6 Mr. Mouge at $5. The 9, which is Tolmac at $23. And Bondi Sands, $26. So we've got some real value sprinkled in those selections there.
Just need one of them. Just need one of those 20-odd dollar shots to win. And look, throughout the winter, I think it's fair to say, most weeks in the quaddy, you've had a $20 or a $30 winner. So it can pay at this time of year just to look a little bit outside the obvious.
It is looking like a large quaddy at the Valley tomorrow. I wonder if we can trim down The congratulations, Jamie Carr handicap. No surprise, Jamie Carr is on the favourite, the premiership winner. Red Santa, going to need to do her best from out wide. Gate 16 before emergencies. It is a $4 chance. Namakwa at $5.50. Seb Song, $7.50. Then we're down to Literati at $8. So emergencies will come out of this race. There are six emergencies. None have come out as yet. A couple of SMSs here. Hello, boys. Special from Noosa. My banker of the day is Namakwa in race 8. Don't want to be off the pace tomorrow. He'll be right there with a lovely claim from Maddie Lloyd. Do you like Namakwa in this race, or will Red Santa deliver again?
Namakwa is definitely in the quaddie. Yeah, definitely in the quaddie. And look, really hard to beat too. I think Special's on the right tram there. Good inside gate. Maddie Lloyd goes forward. I like apprentices on natural on-speed horses. And the Gouch teaches them well at the apprentice school, doesn't he? And when they're drawn horses that naturally go forward, his little lessons are ringing in their ears, no doubt. The horse I just thought was worth a try here on the backup is Capricorn Ridge, number 11. Now, beaten last week out of 2400, he loomed up to the turn and it looked like he was just going to roll home like he did at Ballarat in the heavy ground at 2000. He didn't. I'm not sure that he stayed. It was one of those runs where you watch it in review a couple of times. You think, maybe this horse just didn't run that trip. He's back to 2,000, a distance that we know he has performed well at. He's going to get back in the field. That's the risk. But at this stage of the day, we will know if he can win from off the pace. If you can, I think he's a really lively chance in this race. If leaders are dominating, well, don't back him because he's going to be backing off the speed. So I think that's the way I will approach the race. From a quaddie point of view, I'm going to trim up a little bit here. And I'm going to be a little bit cheeky and dodge a couple of those in the market. Namakwa, number one, goes in. Number two, Seb Song goes in. Number five, Tin Tin Win goes in. Number 11, Capricorn Ridge. They're the only four I'm taking.
What do you make of Capricorn Ridge's run last week?
Oh, I just think it was a case of him not running the distance out, really. If you look at the Ballarat run, he joins in and he runs right away from them. But maybe a combination of the heavy ground and just being in a sweet spot there at 2,000, that you know, he might be a horse that runs 22 and not 24, because the last 200 metres last week, I thought even though he'd worked to get into the race, he was just that little bit soft.
Okay, now I want to ask you about a horse called Golden Fourth here, because this was Dean Lester's Ramaruffi. Now, it was when Dino announced it this morning, around about $26. It's now into $16. Now, the tab let you bet through, but there's a few of the culprits out there who have been a bit disingenuous with the Ramaruffi every week. They turn it off just before Dino's Ramaruffi comes on, and then they turn it back on again without anyone getting on, and magically, it's half the odds. So, come on, boys. Let's play fair. Let's play fair. Do you give Golden Fourth a chance?
Look, every week, if I happen to leave the famous Ramaruffi out of the quaddie, I think I often note that if you want to throw another one in, that would be the one. Really good at Geelong from off the speed. He's a horse that can settle on pace. His maiden win and his synthetic 58 win, he was closer to the speed. If he won, it wouldn't surprise me. If you want to throw another one in for insurance, that'd be the one.
Okay. A few SMSs coming through here as well. I'm going to back, boys, I'm going to do a big box here in the first leg of the quaddie. Going to box Zapateo. Oh, no, this is an each-way all-up. Going to box Zapateo, Godolin and Namakwa in an each-way all-up. That's Michael from Brisbane. Don't mind that play. A little bit of value there.
Yeah,
now, apparently,
good.
A little earlier when we were speaking to Sam, I said that their horse Bedford's going to be
the
hard to beat because he's put the wall on the writing. Didn't realise that. It's very difficult to do that. So if Bedford can live up to that, he's going to be very hard to beat.
You're planning a house build at the moment, so you've got lots of walls in writing around the place. So I just thought it was something like that.
Walls on the mind. All right. So just recapping. Race number six, what are we doing play-wise?
Race number 6 or race number 8?
I think race number 8. You've got me shattered here.
I've got you. I got you on the hottest one. I'm not even trying. I haven't even had to speak about Belinda Carlisle. I think Capricorn Ridge, if the track is playing fair and you can win from the back of the field, I'm inclined to have a little 1x2 each way play Capricorn Ridge.
All right. Capricorn Ridge, $10 in race number 8. The lucky last, it jumps at 20-6. And as Marty Simon said this morning, the lights will be on at the Valley for the last tomorrow night. Exactly right. Now, this market will change because the favourite here, we've got a couple of scratchings out, but the favourite is Fourth Emergency. So Flash Flood is still on the precipice. It may not get a run. It is the $4.40 favourite. Foxy Lady is at $4.80. Wilmot Pass, $5. Imperial Ad, $7.50. How do we finish the day, Sharky?
What price is Rock in the Park, number 7?
$8.50.
That was some sort of win first up at Lakeside. The market sort of specced him a little early, and then he was out, you know, 31-26, and he was out to 41. Usually when the Eden Stable like it, they keep firming rather than trim up and go out again. It was a very good win. I think a combination of getting onto soft ground and maybe just settling in from that first prep in Australia might have done the trick with this horse. If you go back and look at his form in New Zealand, he's got some form around some horses that have won good races and some trial form around some Group 1 horses. So I think there's an engine there. Again, if the track is fair and you can win from back in the field, I think he's a good 1x2 each way play in the last. I've got to trim something up because the quaddie's looking a little obese at the moment. If Flash Flood gets in the field, I would be running with 5 Melodeon, who was really good first up without a lot of luck, 7 Rock in the Park, and 18 Flash Flood. If Flash Flood doesn't get in, drop Wilmot Pass, number 8 in, because I've been backing him. He keeps running placings, and if I leave him out of the quaddie, you know today will be the day, and you'll hear my cries of anguish from, well, wherever you are in Australia, really. I've got a loud voice when I get knocked out in the last leg of the quad.
Well, you've got to put him in, Wilmot. I think Wilmot's got to be a definite in your quaddy there. So 5, 7 and 18. If Flash Flood gets the run, the 5, which is Melodeon at $10, and the 7, Rock in the Park. Now, I know you get Shay Eden mail. I spoke to Shay Eden on Racing Pulse the day after Rock in the Park won at Sandown at $41 at Ladbrokes Park. He was the most flat trainer after a city winner I've ever heard. He said, "I've missed the boat. I was waiting to back this horse second up. I didn't think it was fit." So that's a pretty good lead. Second up, $8.50 at the Valley tomorrow. So Rock in the Park. Take note of that. Got a good SMS here. Hey, lads, don't forget to pump up the racing calendar in today's winning post. It is a must-have for the office wall. That's from Mark. Couldn't agree more, Mark. Go and get your winning post today, the new season racing calendar. It's an absolute beauty. It will have all of the season's feature races. You'll get to see them all there. A couple of other SMSs that are coming through. Need Hulk-like strength to get the walk on the writing. Okay, thank you very much for that. Here's another one having a crack at me here. I think Fellgate is up to 27 times now mentioning Jamie Carr. Betty can't get it up to 50. All right, we'll take that challenge.
We all need goals, particularly end of the week.
Okay, I'm a little disappointed here. Here comes an SMS.
Mm. Yeah, go on. The other thing we need to mention while we're spreading things, Miguel, is the racing boxing night coming up. It's had a change of date.
Yes, September 11.
September 11 now. Yeah, so yep. I know we'll talk about that probably next week and whatever else. Joshy Rodder's been on the hustings. He's been training very, very hard, Joshy Rodder. I think we might see something pretty special from Joshy when he gets in, takes to the ring.
Yeah, there is no doubt. He looks fearsome, Joshy Rodder, so we'll do a lot more on that in the weeks to come leading up into that race. Hey, boys, I've got 2 out wide for you. Carnarvon today, race 2, number 2, Espresso Lass. And Townsville tomorrow, race 2, number 1, Coonunga Hill. I'm gunning for Joshy's job. That is from Matty O. Now, Joshy will be joining us after Have we got Joshy now just before 10 o'clock, or are we going to get him after the news? We're going to get him after the news, because we'll go through doing the form preview till around about 10:15. We're going to look at the Lightning Stakes. We're going to look at the Grand National and the Crisp as well. And then James Jordan's going to join us from about 10:15 to get all the winners at Morphettville today. And then China Master and Gary Cleese will join us for the Quaddy and Best Bets at Goulburn, and also Lismore a little later today. All right, Sharknado, how do we wrap up Moonee Valley? Where are we going for the best bets of the day at the Valley tomorrow?
Look, I think if there's a couple of ifs here, right? If the track is around that soft six range, no worse, Dr. Drill, I think, can win in race number four. He's probably the best, but just monitor the conditions. If the track's playing fair and you can win from off the speed late in the day, Capricorn Ridge and Rock in the Park, I just want to try those two each way too. So that'll be my three bets, but I'll be waiting to see the conditions for each of them on race day.
Okay. Who rides Dr. Drill?
Dr. Drill? Dr. Drill is Jamie Carr.
Jamie Carr. I'm up to 30 now, so we're starting to make progress. Hey, we'll break for the 10 o'clock news. On the other side of this, we'll look at the Lightning and also Grand National Day on Sunday. To Racing Pulse, a little extended edition of the Friday Form Focus. We've got another 5 to 10 minutes of the Sharky, because I'm keen to get his thoughts coming up very soon on the Grand National. But first of all, let's pop over to South Australia, Sharky, and you get a lot of good South Australian mail. It is the Lightning Stakes over there at Morphettville tomorrow. Now, speaking to Lord Kennywell before, he said, not sure whether Bo Ross is going to actually take his place in the race. He is the $2.80 favourite. Maha's at $5 as well. Who are we backing in the Lightning tomorrow?
Well, if Bo Ross lines up, it's the best horse in the race. I think it's the one to beat. But I did hear Lloyd's commentary there, and he'll be hoping it doesn't turn up, because Estella Rocker has been set for this, I'd have thought, to be nice and fit the back end of the season to try and get a stakes win. The other horse that is very interesting is Dirty Thoughts. Love that run first up at Flemington to Kalkani Royale. She's a sharp horse with good sort of stakes form around night raids. What's that? That's a pretty good standard, isn't it, for a race like this? Really smart placement here from Ellerton and Zara. She is my top pick.
So Dirty Thoughts is around about $5.50 as well. This was a race last year, I think, that Parlophone absolutely obliterated them. She's back in as a three-year-old this year. Do you give the two-year-olds any chance this year?
Probably not. I'm probably more leaning towards the three-year-olds. Blairoy, yep. Or Blairio, or however you pronounce it, Will Clarkin's horse, number 12. Really nice talent, you know, a seven-length winner. You don't win by seven if you've got no engine. But I just think that three-year-olds have the strength here.
All right, then Sunday, all eyes will be on Ladbrokes Park. It is a very nice Sunday meeting, but just the Grand National. It is one of the strongest nationals I can remember, and no surprise to see Kira Ma, Dave Eustace, and Declan Ma dominating. Saunter Boy, $2.50. Norway, $3.10. Will John, who yesterday, Dave Eustace, declared the best of his runners over the weekend that he's excited about. Inay Fahey, Paul Prushka's at $8.50. They're the top four in the market. Who are you with in the Grand National?
It's a super competitive Grand National, isn't it? You go with the two rising stars, Norway or Will John or Saunter Boy, has done nothing wrong. And his flat form and his jumps form has been so good this prep. He's, you know, the testing material in terms of those that have been up for a little while and, you know, a couple of seasons under their belt. I just keep coming back to Will John. I just think there's something about this horse. He's got a little bit of something special there. His hurdle wins to date have just been so clean. 20-length win last time. I love what I saw there. He's the top pick for me.
Top pick for you in the Grand National, Will John. What about in the Crisp? We get to see the superstar Ablaze back in action as well. It's the first race on Saturday, but Social Element is a new star on the scene, looking to put another win next to its name at $2.50.
It was really hard to take on Social Element, isn't it, given what he's been doing to fields of late, you know, 30-length win, two back, and then 9 lengths last time. Now he's absolutely flying, Social Element. Our good old mate Campbell Brown, I think, is in the ownership, and he welcomed another son into the world during the week, I think. So it could be a big week for the Brown household. Big Blue is a horse that interests me here. Love that Pakenham win first up. He's a classy, classy horse. And I'm inclined just to try him at a little bit of value.
All right, so Big Blue at $5. It'll be a great double for the team if they can take the crisp and also the Grand National. Hey, Sharky, you've got to run. I know you're a busy man today. Appreciate a little bit of extra time. Have you got a little multi for the listeners? Anything out wide as we say goodbye?
Nothing out wide. Oh, do you know what? I'm going to give you one on Sunday, all right? You can't tell anyone. Can you keep this quiet?
Just between us?
Just you and I. All right, Sandown. Race 8, number 15, Bronze Bar.
Well, you're not the only one because it's the favourite. First up from New Zealand. Who's riding that? Jay Carr.
Hey, see what I did there?
Very nice.
Just leading you in.
Sharky, looking forward to catching up with you on Monday. Good punting. Good luck over the weekend.
Good on you, Michael. Have a good weekend.
Sharky's got a lead, and we might have his heir apparent. Now, this is almost his last roll of the dice for Josh. There's a few SMSs coming through. He had three selections last week. One of them got up, but it was an odds on. So, Josh, are you confident today?
Oh, I think we are, Michael. I think we'll get the chockey this weekend.
Where are we going?
Well, we're going to go over the border Saturday to Morfettville for a couple. Race 2, number 4, Reynolds. Tough run, a couple of weeks ago on speed. Did a super job to get that close, I reckon. It'll get a kinder run this time, about $3. I think that's probably fair.
$3.10 Reynolds, race 2, number 4. Now, are you giving your traditional three selections?
Well, we'll go with three and hope they all run, I think.
Where's the next one?
Yeah, stay at Morfettville. Race 8, number 6 in the Lightning, Esther La Rocca. Led and beat everything but Malkovich about a month ago. I reckon if you drop Malkovich in the field, it'd start about $1.50. So hopefully Bo Rossa does start so we can keep about $6. That'd be a nice price.
Esther La Rocca, confident with Lloyd Kennywell there. And then the third of your treble.
The third. We'll go Sunday to the best country track in Victoria. We're going to Donald. Race 5, number 1, Baron of Bedford. 1,200 out to a mile, but it rang real strong for the line at Warwicknabeal a couple of weeks ago. It'll go back. But it doesn't look like a superstar field, so I think it can round them up.
Race 5, number 1, Donald on Sunday. Haven't got any markets for that race as yet, but hopefully our pockets will be full after the Morfettville specials. Race 2, number 4, race 8, number 6 tomorrow. All right, Josh, pressure's on. Shark lifted when the pressure was on. Fingers crossed for you this weekend.
Pressure builds diamonds, Michael.
Good on you, Josh. Josh from Horsham. There's a few trying to steal his crown on the SMS. We'll see how Josh goes this week. If not, it could be you who gives us the punter's pick on the Friday Form Focus. Quick break. James Jordan, speaking of the best in South Australia, will find us winners today.